My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. A few years back, there was a popular song from the movie Frozen that every little girl could sing. It was called Let It Go. And it won the Best Original Song at the Academy Awards in 2014. I was hoping there would be some little girls here today, but I'm wondering if anybody can sing a few bars of Let It Go. Does anybody know that song? Let It Go. Jonathan? Okay, very good. Thank you. I want you to keep that song in mind as we go through the sermon this morning, because I think this sermon is all about letting go. So, a wealthy man comes to Jesus and wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. He's an intent, devout keeper of the law of Moses, and at the same time, he's willing to learn even more from the teacher. Oh, if only we could be such good disciples. Jesus' answer is as shocking to us as it was to those who were sitting there in the first century. He says, the man is missing one thing. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. The poor man goes away grieving because he had a lot of stuff and he couldn't let it go. The disciples are flabbergasted. Well, if this guy who has done so much in regards to his faith and still needs to give up more, then really who can be saved? This is a possible saying. And Peter chimes in, as he usually does, with a protest. He too is alarmed at Jesus' words. Look, he says, we have left everything, our homes, our families. He is implying that the disciples should get something as a reward for leaving and letting go of their lives. But the thing is, all of them, the disciples and the wealthy man, are on the wrong track. They are operating in the world's system. You earn something, you get a reward, right? You give something, and you get something in return. Isn't that the way things work? That's our system. The thing is, it's not God's system. First of all, let's look at the wealthy man's question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, if you're inheriting something, you don't do anything at all. You're inheriting it. It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift of God's grace in Jesus. You know, the part that really touches me in this story is that Jesus looks at this man and it says he loves him. This is the only place in the Gospel of Mark where Mark singles out one individual to say that Jesus loved them. He loves him so much, he wants him to come and to be one of his disciples. He would add a lot to their group. But the man can't. There's something in his way, and Jesus knows it. It's all his possessions. They're a barrier to his relationship with God. You know, Jesus isn't trying to be hard on him. He just really wants him to have a relationship with him. And that means he needs to let go of some things. He loves him. Jesus says it's hard. It's very hard for a wealthy person to put aside all their stuff and to live in God's kingdom. And guess what? By the world's standards, almost every one of us in this room is wealthy. So this lesson today is for you and for me, whether or not we consider ourselves to be wealthy. How hard it is for our stuff not to get between us and our relationship with Jesus. The Roman Catholics call this attachment. We get attached to things, to our lifestyles, instead of to God. Well, I've read recently that Amazon is building a new warehouse in Gaines Township, south of Kentwood. And that's great because it's going to hopefully create 450 new jobs. And Amazon has recently said that they're going to pay people $15 an hour. That's terrific. I really think it's great. The only problem I have with Amazon is that it calls its warehouses fulfillment centers. Really? I think that's kind of audacious. I mean, is that what life is all about? Fulfilling ourselves with stuff? And so for the first time I heard that name, I was really offended. And then this weekend, I began to think, what do I buy from Amazon? Books. I love books. So little time, so much to read. And then I realized that I am fulfilled by some of those books. In fact, my life has been transformed by some of those books. Uh-oh. Does that mean that I am being fulfilled by the fulfillment center? Could it be possible that they actually get in the way of my relationship with Jesus? I don't know. I like to think that my books enhance that relationship, but maybe that money could be used better in another place. Jesus challenges us all this morning. What is it that gets in the way of our relationship with Jesus? Is it our schedules, which we tend to think we can't do anything about? Or can we? What could we let go of to get a little more of Jesus into our weeks? Is it fear that gets in the way of our relationship with Jesus? Are we afraid that Jesus is going to ask too much from us? That we won't have enough? Or can we let go of that fear? That he knows what we truly need? Jesus himself says that the thing that is the greatest barrier to our relationship with God is money. He talks about money more than any other subject except the kingdom of God in the New Testament. What to do about money getting in the way? Let it go. Jesus doesn't sing it, but he certainly does say it. Let it go. Give it away. It'll make you happier. It will allow you to be fulfilled in him alone. True fulfillment comes from love of God and love of neighbor. This is hard stuff. Difficult stuff to listen to and think about. And Jesus knows we struggle with it because he looks on us with love. And he is saddened when we walk away. Because you see, there is grace. The good news is that nothing is impossible with God. And we know that because he is not just asking us to give things up for him. He already gave his all for us in his life, death, and resurrection. He did not hold on to a thing. Jesus calls his disciples children in this passage. We are his children. He has already won our inheritance for us. All we have to do as his children is accept it. Accept the gift of life eternal, and then we realize how much we are truly blessed. How rich we are. We are so rich in the favor of his love and grace that we don't have to hold quite so tightly to our possessions. We are free to let them go. Maybe just a little at first, but gradually a lot. Did you ever notice that if your fist is clenched, you cannot receive anything? Just loosen it up a bit, and you'll know how much you have already been blessed. When we begin to open our hands, we open our hearts as well. And that's what the wealthy man in our story could not do. He couldn't receive God's love. St. Luke's is a generous congregation. We give freely to those in need. We are always one of the highest givers at the Hunger Walk in Grand Rapids. Our quarterly quiet offering yields about $1,000 to $2,000 each quarter to help the poor through some organization. A number of you have traveled on mission trips around the world to build homes for those who need them. And you have made a commitment in 2019 to house the poor in this very building 3 weeks out of the year. You are making Christ known in word and in deed. But the heart of the matter is, and if you've been to one of the Heart of the Matter presentations, St. Luke's itself is now in need. Yes, we have lost some members for a variety of reasons over the last few years, but we continue to have excellence in worship and music. We have a new center for spirituality, which is transforming people's relationships with Jesus. You have two pastors who complement one another and who make sure that the gospel is preached each Sunday and that members in need receive pastoral care. We are working to enhance our ecumenical relationships and to provide more ways for people to hear the good news of Jesus' love for all people. After the healing service last Wednesday night, I was so moved by the presence of the Holy Spirit abiding here in this place. The bishop and I both had tears in our eyes as we walked out. He had a terrific sermon, and the music was lovely. People came forward for prayers of healing. This is a wonderful place. It's a place where God dwells. And I don't mind saying that the church needs money. We need money to continue to provide ministry. So please, as Bill said, prayerfully consider what you can let go of so that you can give a little more this year, that Christ may be known through the work of St. Luke's, which with such love and dedication together, Jesus promises that we will become a new family, a family who finds their fulfillment in him. With persecution, Mark says. That is just so odd in the middle of that sentence. With persecution. But Mark is reminding us of the reality that not all will be bliss until the kingdom is fulfilled. Meanwhile, we are privileged to walk in the shadow of the cross with love and generosity toward God and toward our neighbor.